And our final speaker is Betty Tustin on traffic.
Good evening. All right, I just want a little heads up on how do I move it forward. Okay.
You may be able to use.
Oh, okay, this is there. Okay. My name is Betty Tustin. I'm a senior project manager for the Traffic Group Incorporated at 104 Kenwood Court in Berlin, Maryland. I, too, hold a civil engineering degree from Virginia Tech.
All right.
Go Hokies, right? I'm a registered professional engineer in Delaware, as well as Maryland and Virginia, and have been conducting traffic impact studies in these states for over 40 years. Compared to the states of Maryland and Virginia, DLDOT has one of the most stringent procedures for conducting traffic impact studies. Basically, it's a four-step process, with the first being a meeting with DLDOT to develop a scope of work for the study. Once that is completed, traffic counts are obtained and submitted to DLDOT for approval. Next, the trips projected to be generated by any other committed development in the area, as well as the trips projected by the development, are compiled and submitted to DLDOT for approval. Finally, the analysis is completed, and if any deficiencies are identified, mitigation measures are developed and tested. The final analysis is submitted to DLDOT, who requests their engineering consultant to scrutinize our analysis. During this process, which takes many months, not only has our engineering team been involved in the calculations and analysis, DLDOT's engineering team and their engineering consultant team have also been involved. Throughout this whole process, at least a half a dozen, if not more, professional, registered civil engineers or engineers in training with a bachelor's degree or a master's degree have conducted, reviewed, and approved the analysis. DLDOT reviewed the traffic impact study, which was completed for the Twins Mass development in 2020, in accordance with this memorandum of understanding with Sussex County. As is required in its development coordination manual, any proposed development projected to generate more than 50 peak hour trips or more than 200 daily trips is required to complete a traffic impact study. There's an exception, but it does not apply for this project. We have one access on Round Pole Bridge Road. DLDOT has been asked to consider an access on Delaware State Route 1. DLDOT will not allow this access. A letter from the public refers to a statement in the State Route 1 Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, which refers to a planned access road connecting Round Pole Bridge Road to the contiguous parcels and properties with frontage along Route 1. The intended purpose of this access road is to eliminate the direct access these parcels and properties now have on Route 1 and provide access to these parcels and properties via Round Pole Bridge Road through the Twin Mast development. Our development team met with DLDOT to discuss and assess the suggested access road. All agreed that such an access road was not feasible. However, please note that should this access road have been constructed, it would have added additional traffic to Round Pole Bridge Road from the affected parcels and properties. It would not provide an access to Delaware State Route 1 for the Twin Mass development. Those existing driveways would have been closed should an access road like that be built. Excuse me. DLDOT selects the intersections for study based on a travel demand model, which forecasts travel patterns for proposed development. Intersections are selected based on the number of trips the proposed development are projected to pass through that intersection. The travel demand model is presently conducted by Anna Marie Formato with the TIS section of DLDOT planning. As noted as an email included in your packet, it's the last email in my exhibit package, so I'm not going to scan through it right now. Trips of all purposes are included in the travel demand model, such as residential, school, shopping, recreational, and work. A letter from the public incorrectly opines that only work-related trips are included in the travel demand model. Study intersections are identified if more than 50 peak hour trips are projected to pass through that intersection. The threshold is commonly accepted amongst most jurisdictions. The presumption is that 50 trips, both coming and going, through an intersection generated by a proposed development will have a negligible impact on that intersection. This exhibit from DLDOT illustrates the selected study intersections, and they are Round Pole Bridge Road and Hudson Road, Delaware Route 1 and Hudson Road Steamboat Landing Road, Route 1 and Route 16, Route 1 and Delaware and the crossover south of Hudson Road, Delaware Route 1 and Eagle Crest Road, Oyster Rocks Road, Hudson Road and Eagle Crest Road, Hudson Road and River Rockway, Hudson Road and Falls Road, Hudson Road and Sweetbriar Road, and of course, a site access on Round Pole Bridge Road. I understand that the public is concerned that the intersection of Round Pole Bridge Road and Cave Neck Road was not selected for study. The reason is because there are less than 50 trips projected to go through that intersection, and therefore any impact that Twin's mass development would have on that intersection would be minimal. We study these intersections on a typical weekday and also on Saturday during the summer months. We were doing our study in late 2021 and early 2022 when DLDOT was reconstructing the bridge over the Broadkill River on State Route 1. This construction would, of course, impact traffic volumes through the area. DLDOT recommended that we use traffic counts from recent studies in the area and supplement those counts with our own counts when necessary and appropriate. Please note that these counts are actual counts from other studies and were not pieced together, quote, as noted by a member of the public. These traffic counts were provided from the Chapel Farm TIS, the Brittingham TIS, and the Cool Spring Farm TIS. The majority of these counts were collected in 2021. Counts for two intersections were collected in 2019. None of the counts were collected in 2020, then during the year of the pandemic and quarantine. Somehow there's a misunderstanding with the public that the TIS is based on counts collected when work from home and virtual learning was prevalent. That is not the case. DLDOT required that we inflate the traffic counts at the study intersection by regional growth factors to represent traffic volumes when the project's completed, estimated to be in the year 2028. The counts were increased by a factor of 3.6%. DLDOT also required that we include traffic volumes from other developments in the area, including Cutlass Point, Chapel Farm, and Vincent Overlook. Finally, to reach the peak hour traffic volumes to be studied, we added in the peak hour trips that are projected to be generated by our development. The results of our analysis indicated that six of the study intersections are operating and are projected to operate at acceptable levels of service. Levels of service is a traffic engineering criteria by which the intersections are judged. Intersections are judged by level of service from A to F, depending on the amount of delay that is experienced or is projected to be experienced by motorists at that intersection. On the left side of this exhibit, you can see an illustration of level of service for intersections of what they might look like in real life. Level of service A is highly stable with free flow conditions, little to no congestion and delays of less than 10 seconds. As we move down the level of service ladder, congestion and delay continues to increase to level of service F, which is described as stop and go, with more than 80 seconds of delay, as level of service of E and F are typically considered unacceptable. The following intersections were determined to have acceptable levels of service, and that is Hudson Road and Round Pole Bridge Road, Hudson Road and Eagle Crest Road, Hudson Road and River Rock Way, Hudson Road and Falls Road, Hudson Road and Sweetbriar Road, and the site access on Round Pole Bridge Road. The study intersections along Delaware State Route 1 were projected to operate at unsatisfactory levels of service. This is really not a surprise given the amount of effort that DLDOT is giving to State Route 1 in this area. As you're aware, the construction of a grade separation of Delaware State Route 1 at 16 is already underway, and this project is anticipated to be completed in 2025. Moving southward, DLDOT has a project along State Route 1 from a point north of the intersection with Hudson Road and Steamboat Landing Road, southward to a point beyond the intersection of Route 1 and Eagle Crest Oyster Rocks Road. This project will eliminate some crossovers and restrict certain movements at the intersection. As at the intersection with Hudson Road, left turns from Hudson Road and Steamboat Landing Road onto Delaware State Route 1 will be restricted. Vehicles will not be able to cross straight across either. However, folks who desire to travel north or south on State Route 1 will make a right turn and proceed to the next crossover and make a U-turn. In order to facilitate traffic flow on divided highways, many jurisdictions are actively closing intersections to prohibit left turns and through traffic. It has been determined and proven that making a right turn and proceeding to make a U-turn is safer than making a left turn onto a divided highway. At the intersection with Eagle Crest Road, left turns from Delaware State Run on Eagle Crest Road and onto Oyster Road will be restricted. Similarly, vehicles will not be able to cross straight across from Eagle Crest Road to Oyster Rocks Road. A third Delaware, do you think I should show the video? A third DLDOT project along State Route 1 is the Grade Separation at its intersection with Cave Neck Road. This project is slated to begin construction in 2025. And if you go to DLDOT's project website, there's a really cool video that I was hoping to show you tonight, which demonstrates how traffic will move through this interchange. Typically, a proposed development would be required to make roadway improvements to mitigate any level of service deficiencies at the SETI intersection. However, in this case, since DLDOT has projects designed and in some cases begun construction, the Twin Mass development will be making a financial contribution to these projects. A fourth project in the study area is at the intersection of Hudson Road, Cave Neck Road, and Sweetbriar Road. A roundabout has been selected for these intersections and is scheduled to begin construction in 2025. The Twin Mass development will be making a financial contribution to this project as well. With these various DLDOT projects, traffic patterns are anticipated to change in the future. The grade separated interchanges to be located to the north at State Route 16 and to the south at Cave Neck Road will attract drivers from other roadways as there will be less delay as currently experienced at some of these intersections. Also, the delay at Hudson Road, Cave Neck Road, Sweetbriar Road will be greatly reduced, making these roadways a more desirable means of travel. The Twin Mass development will also be improving Round Pole Bridge Road along their frontage to 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders as required by DLDOT. We'll be constructing a right turn lane into the development to remove these turning vehicles from the vehicles continuing on Round Pole Bridge Road. A letter from the public stated that we are required to put a left turn lane in on from Round Pole Bridge Road into our site, and that is not the case. I would like to point out that DLDOT projected that 84% of the trips generated by the Twin Mass development will travel to and from the east via Hudson Road. And that's the section of Round Pole Bridge Road that we will be improving to handle that large number of vehicles, not large number, but higher percentage. Few trips generated by the Twin Mass development will travel to and from the west on Round Pole Bridge Road. And as stated before, DLDOT's travel demand model is based on all types of trips, not just work trips. To further verify the projected distribution of trips from the Twin Mass development, we queried information from Replica, a big data company. Yes, you are being tracked, not by name, but you're being tracked. TGG is a preferred partner with the Replica and is very familiar with the information that can be obtained from these types of services. Replica is a location-based service and is obtained from various sources such as phone applications that rely on GPS, 30 million unique devices per month. They also receive cellular network data from major telecom providers such as Verizon and AT&T, as well as in-vehicle GPS based upon 3 billion traffic trips per month and point of interest data based upon 4 million locations per month. We anticipate that residents who live in the Twin Mass development will have demographics similar to those who live in other developments in the area, such as the Oyster Rock, Osprey Landing, and Covington Chase communities, northeast of State Route 1, and the River Rock and Great Falls subdivisions off of Hudson Road. Some of these residents are second homeowners and retired families, which have different trip characteristics from those of a typical family with children living at home. This exhibit illustrates to which cities the trips from the River Rock, Run, and Creek Falls communities are destined on a typical day in the spring of 2023. The replica data, the circle is where River Rock and the Creek Falls communities are. And just looking at the incorporated cities, we asked, we queried the data, which incorporated cities do these trips go? And we found that approximately 10% went to Milton, about 13% went to Lewis in the yellow, and the other destinations, the other incorporated cities in the area, Rehoboth, Georgetown, were less than that. So that's where these trips were headed from the River Rock and Great Falls community.
What, can I ask a question, though? Because there's a gap in that. So there was 13 yes. and 10 and then a bunch of ones. Where's the other 70% go?
We only queried for incorporated cities, and I'll make that aware, show you that in a couple slides. Okay. It's easier to do that in incorporated cities to focus in on the percentages. So we can also tell what the trip purposes are. As this slide shows, for those people traveling out of River Rock Run and Great Falls, 25.8% were social trips, 16.8% were work-related trips, 15.4% were shopping trips, 10.4% of freight trips like UPS, FedEx. Other is a category that we cannot identify. Almost 10% are restaurant trips for eating, 5.64% recreational trips, 3.81% trips errands, school trips, less than 2%. And then there's lodging and, hey, regional departure airport. So to answer your question, Mr. Robertson, in this case, we wanted to know where the social trips were headed. So we figured, well, the social trips aren't only going to go to incorporated cities, they're probably going to go to their neighbor. So this is the way we can do that. It's called a block data, block groups instead of city destinations. So this kind of fills in the black spaces that we had before. So those folks traveling out of River Rock, these are the social trips. That's where they went. The majority went to areas that are colored in yellow, and they decreased, the bar graph is not showing, but they decrease, as you can see a little bit. Orange is a little bit less, red is a little bit less, and it goes on down the scale. So most of those 25.8% of the social trips are going in that yellow area. This exhibit illustrates where the work trips were headed. Again, we only queried the incorporated cities. Otherwise, you get something that looks like that, which is really kind of hard to read. For work-related trips. And about 25% of the work-related trips go to Lewis, and others go to Milton, Rehoboth, Georgetown, Seaford, and of course, the non-incorporated areas. And then we wanted to know where the shopping trips were headed. Well, most of them were headed to Milton. About 25% of the 109 trips for shopping went to Milton, and the remainder to Lewis, Harrington, Greenwood, or again, other non-incorporated areas. And I just thought this was interesting. Most, 80%, over 80% of the trips are 4 miles or longer in length. Just a little bit of tidbit there. So now going over to the Oyster Rocks, Osprey Landing, and Covington Chase communities. Again, a typical day in the spring of 2023. Those communities are in that red circle. So for all the trips coming out of those areas, this is where they went. About 4% went to Milton, 5% to Lewis, and the remaining less than 1% to the incorporated cities. All right, for shopping for these trips coming out of Oyster Rocks, Osprey Landing, and Covington Chase, again, social is the largest category, 39.3%. shopping 15.5, work 13.4, and then we go on down. And again, just please note that school trips, school-related trips, were just barely over 1% of all the trips coming out of that community. So let's look at where their social trips are going. Again, yellow is the more concentrated. That's where most of the social trips are going. And then again, we go down the slide, down the scale with orange, a pink, and then red, and so on, with the gray being the fewest. And what about where they work? Again, just querying incorporated cities. There were 76 work-related trips coming out of those communities, and 20% went to Lewis. And this is the shopping trips. There were 88 work shopping trips, and 10% went to Milton, and the others in a lesser degree. 10% of the 88. And again, just for fun.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please. I know it's been a long presentation, but please try to keep it down so we can hear this lady's presentation. I'd like you to listen to it as well. Go ahead.
Again, just for interest, over 80% of the trips traveled more than 4 miles to their destination. Okay, then we got one out. Here we go. Okay, focusing on the town of Milton as a destination, because I understand the public's concern that most of the residents are good number of the residents in Twin Mass will want to go to Milton. As we already observed from the big data, is this less than 7% in total from those two other developed areas. But anyway, there was concern that they are headed to Milton, which route will they take? And we developed this graph. We had the destination being at the intersection of 16 and Union Street, which is where like the Food Lion is and some shopping areas. And as you can see on this, find something else here. There we go. As you can see on this exhibit, the blue route, which is the longer route, and takes, if I can read it, 12 to 14 minutes. Typically, we were querying Google Maps to get these numbers. The green route, which of course goes by the intersection that's congested now of Cave Neck Road and Sweetbriar and Hudson Road, is the longest route, and that takes 14 to 18 minutes. One would expect when that roundabout is completed, that might become an alternate route. But the yellow route up to 16, and remember there is construction going on at 16 right now, is the preferred route with only 5.2 miles and 8.4 miles typically. So that was just for the one day that we prepared this exhibit a few weeks ago. But we've been tracking that Google Maps time for the past 2 weeks. And this piece is handing out to you an illustration which will demonstrate that the travel times pretty much stay pretty consistent, with the yellow route being the preferred route to travel from an area where Twin Mass will be located to the intersection of 16 and Union Street. Speaking of trips, I would like to remind you that trips do not equal the number of additional cars on the road. One vehicle may make several trips in and out of the development, and in and out. So when we speak about ADT, we're talking about in and out. So if we say development's going to generate 1,000 daily trips, that means 500 out, 500 in. It's not a grand total of 1,000 out, 1,000 in. So just want to clarify, it's the number of trips at the driveway that are going through that access point. All right, we are a little out of order. There we go. All right, and then I also want to remind you that once those trips exit the driveway, they go left or right. So there's no one section of roadway that will feel the impact of all the trips that are projected to be generated by Twin Mass. Only the driveway will feel the impact of that. And as we look at this exhibit, we anticipate 1,000 trips will come out and turn left, and 193 will come out and turn right. And then as you get to the intersection of Hudson Road and Round Pool Bridge Road, they divide again. And we're projecting 710 will go north to Route 1 and 301 south to Hudson Road. So again, I just want to try to emphasize that when we say a development is going to generate a certain amount of ADT or daily trips, it's not that number of trips at any one section of the road because they spread out. I'll just skip that one. Okay, so another issue I want everyone to understand is that the trips, the daily trips that are projected by Twins Mass will be spread out through the day. And the ITE, Institution of Transportation Engineers, handbook provides diurnals for which illustrate how trips are expected to be generated, spread out through the day. And as you can see, the outbound trips are projected to be higher in the morning hours and the inbound trips to be lower, higher in the evening hours. But at no one time do we have any hourly trips greater than, looks like about 125, roughly. But more importantly, how are these trips going to divide on Round Pool Bridge Road? These are the trips that are anticipated to come out, turn left, and head towards Hudson Road. Again, same distribution, more in the morning for outbound, higher in the evening and for inbound. But again, just a little bit over 100 trips coming out, turning left per hour at the most. You can see how it goes down in the other hours of the day. But what I really would like for you to look at is this is the number of trips that will come out and turn right around Pole Bridge Road and how they're distributed to the day. And you can see they're very minimal compared to the ones that come out and turn left. There's been some discussion amongst the public about safety on Round Pole Bridge Road. And this is data provided from DLDOT through DLDOT's website for 5 years. As shown in this exhibit on Round Pole Bridge Road for the last 5 years, there were 9 crashes during that time period. 4 of them involved a deer, 2 involved a ditch, and all were single vehicle collisions except for 1. That was a rear-end crash. 3 occurred during the dark, 2 in the early morning hours between 3 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. Speed has been brought up as an issue on Round Pole Bridge Road. So we did a speed study. And our speeds, and then we put our machines just to the west of where our side access will go. And our speed study showed that 85% of the vehicles travel 34 miles per hour or less in the westbound direction, and 85% of the vehicles travel 31 miles per hour or less in the eastbound direction. The average speeds are 26 miles per hour eastbound and 29 miles per hour westbound. Most of the vehicles travel between 26 and 30 miles per hour, and only 2 vehicles drove at a speed greater than 40 miles per hour. These are volumes that were averaged over a 7-day period. There has been some discussion about the condition of Round Pole Bridge Road west of our site access, because we're going to be improving it to the east. So we did a roadway level service analysis based on the procedures established in the Highway Capacity Manual. DLDOT did the same analysis, and these are the results. Again, level of service A, where did that go? Oh, I'll have to go back to it. Level of service A is the least restrictive, going down to level of service F. We separated our analysis going eastbound and westbound. DLDOT just did a level analysis just for the PM peak hour in both directions, and our results are very similar. As to be expected, the level of service is C going westbound. That's not right. Going eastbound. You know what? If that's what it is, that's what it is. Level service C going eastbound, westbound, but it's still within acceptable levels of service. So one might ask, what are some of the inputs into that analysis? And they consider lane width, shoulder width, access points, the number of access points, the posted speed limit, passing zones, vertical grades, horizontal grades, and passing lanes, in addition to volume, et cetera. So it's a pretty comprehensive analysis. And this is the letter that I referred to earlier, or the email that I referred to earlier from Anna Maria Fermato from CELDOT, considering the travel demand model. So that's all I have for you today. I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Not yet.
Okay.
That concludes our presentation. We're available for any questions. Thank you very much for your patience.
Okay, great. All right. At this time, I want to ask our good friends from CELDOT to come forward as part of our ongoing program to enhance intergovernmental coordination. CELDOT has very graciously provided us with two experts this evening. These folks are here to neither advocate for the project nor speak against the project. They are here as a resource for this commission. And we're very glad that you could be with us this evening. I would invite you to make any comments or statements that you would like to make, and then we'll see if the group has any questions for you.
Thank you, Chairman Wheatley. First, by way of introduction, my name is Steve Baer. I'm from CELDOT. I'm the supervisor within the statewide and regional planning section and point person for the corridor capacity preservation program. Great. With me tonight is Sireen. Sireen, if you'd like to.
I'm Sireen Mutaseb with CELDOT Planning, DevCord in the TIS section. I'm a civil engineer, professional, registered in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Virginia.
You heard the evidence that was presented, and I assume that you have reviewed the study, vetted the study, and are you comfortable and concur with the findings thereof?
In general, yes. We'll speak separately. I'd like to talk to the corridor capacity preservation program aspect, and I'll turn it over to Sireen if there's any issues on the TIS data that's presented. As far as the corridor capacity preservation program goes, there are no implications with this project. The reason being, CCPP gets triggered when there are access points to a corridor that is within the program. As described in the proposal, there would be no access to Route 1. As such, corridor capacity becomes a non-issue.
Another question on that, though, because one of the things was, at some point, somebody said, well, why isn't there access to Route 1 instead of around Pole Bridge Road? Is that something that CELDOT, because the corridor capacity preservation, wouldn't allow, or what's your position on that?
That's actually something that goes back to November of 2022. During part of the development coordination program, or development coordination process, we looked at alternative access, that sort of thing, those parcels that do abut Route 1 and have access, bringing it away from there. There's a larger grade separated intersection that's going to be coming to the south, just past that intersection with Hudson, that if we were to include some sort of alternative access to the rear, would make that grade separated intersection much more expensive. As such, it was abandoned as an option. Oh, you're welcome.
So my group or my section reviews the TIS analysis for all residential commercial developments in the state of Delaware. Twin mast was one of the analysis that we reviewed. It conforms to our standards and regulations. Everything is backed by engineering analysis. Everything in the analysis is facts, not opinions. If anything, it's going to improve, upgrade Round Pole Bridge along the frontage of the development. We understand there are some traffic mitigations that will be improved by CELDOT CTP projects. We have a lot of, like a couple of grade separated intersection north of the site, south of the site. We have some improvements going on Hudson and One. We have a five-legged roundabout proposed on Hudson and Cave Neck. All these projects together are going to improve the traffic in that area, and it's going to improve the traffic on Round Pole Bridge also.
Thank you. I want to see if anyone else on the commission has any questions for you at this time, Mr. Cox. Collins, anything?
Curious about the plans for developing the rest of Holbert, around Holbert Road. Oh, my mic is not on, so sorry. So for the rest of Round Pole Bridge Road, it's not in the best of shape if we're candid. Right, having driven it recently, it's a little bit slow going. Obviously, folks are going slower than I was, though, on average. but I am curious if, what's the time horizon for upgrades to that road? Because it does look like it's being used as a fairly significant corridor to get to Milton and avoid Route 1 traffic, I'm sure.
So as part of our entrance plan process, we require developers to improve their frontage. So it's going to get improved to 11-foot lanes, 5-foot shoulders. It's going to have a sidewalk or shared use path. It's going to have a right turn lane with a bike lane. It's going to have asphalt, drainage, signing, striping. So it's going to get improved from where Hudson and what's the other street that where they intersect Round Pole Bridge in Hudson, yes, to the river, to the bridge on the other side, most likely. The rest of Round Pole Bridge, it's a local road with very low ADT. Crashes, like Betty said, it's less than 10 over 5-year period. So it's not a priority for the department to upgrade it or change it. Nothing planned in the near future for it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
I do have a question. We've had a lot of discussions with looking at subdivisions recently, for a while now, with putting in an alternative access for emergency purposes only, and I don't mean improvements on it, just a right-of-way to get a fire truck or whatever it may be to that site. Would that be something that we could consider on this? And I don't know if you would even consider it off of Route 1, but certainly off of Round Pole Bridge Road. I mean, the likeliness of something happening is real. And with this many homes proposed, to have an alternative emergency access, would that be something you would allow?
Potentially. We'd have to look at the specifics of it. As you mentioned, an emergency access onto Route 1 would be a no-go. But we are very sensitive to that topic generally. We understand that the county is looking at that somewhat programmatically throughout developments all around, mm-hmm. that the nature of one ingress, one egress is just begging for a tree to fall on it.
Yeah.
So we're certainly sensitive to that that topic.
Okay. Thank you. So I had.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
None, sir.
Okay. Staff or...
Either one of us. So there was a TIS done early on for the first go round, I guess. And there's been a comment made whether that should be updated. Could you just state for the record whether you're satisfied from DLDOT's point of view or not with that TIS that's in existence?
So it's a recent study. It was approved by DLDOT and reviewed by our consultant engineer March 2023. The counts used in it are accepted, approved, verified counts that were used from other studies. The reason for that, because of Roadkill Bridge that was closed under construction or rehab, because of that, this is kind of like a standard process for us. Whenever there's road closure, whenever there's construction, we would use other approved existing counts. The counts look good to us. They're consistent with other studies. There's no reason to ask for recounts or to adjust them. So everything is per our regs and standards. Nothing is abnormal. So I'm not sure there's a need to reevaluate or reanalyze.
I guess stated another way, if another TIS was requested, would it essentially come out with the same results?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I think that information was in our packet, too, where they confirmed it.
Yeah, no, I know. I just wanted to get that stated on the record. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but just so we heard that out loud.
And one thing to clarify, during the pandemic, the COVID, DLDOT did not accept any counts during that town.
Okay.
After, when it was determined that traffic patterns are back into their normal or pre-pandemic, we started accepting counts.
Mr. Collins, you have something else?
I did have something else. I'm recognizing as I look at the site plan, there's really not.
You got it.
Unless you build an emergency access to Route 1, there's not really a viable option for it.
You can't cross the wetlands and all that.
That's correct. It topography, geography sometimes precluded. That's just the nature of it.
Yep. Okay. Anything else? Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Very much.
You're welcome.
If you're able to stay around a little bit, that would be good. You, as I said, you're here as a resource for us. There could be some testimony later that causes a question in our minds that we might want you to address if you're able to remain. I understand you've got another commitment. Do what you need to do, but thank you very much for being here. This has been very valuable this evening. Thank you.
So, you're welcome. Happy to help.
And feel free to forward any other questions, like after. You can reach out to us. Our emails, phone numbers are on our website.
Jamie knows how to get a hold of us.
to the extent we're able, we'll do that. Thank you. All right. All right, commissioners. Now, questions for the applicants. We'll look again, Mr. Collins, we'll start with you. Anything for the applicant?
Yeah, so was there any consideration given for an affordable housing component to this development or workforce housing? This is...
No, there was not.
Okay. I think that was my only question.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
No questions, Madam Chairman.
Okay. I have just a couple, and thank you for that. It was lengthy, but it was a very good presentation because I had a whole lot of other questions before you got started. But I'd like to ask that question for the project engineer if there's a possibility to put some kind of access road. I don't know if it could be off a round pole, another one.
So the only location is really in that area that we set aside as the limited development area. Obviously, we have already kind of committed to limiting development within it. But that's really, you can see that gap right there. That's where it would be begging to go, would be there. But if it is a grass strip through there, and that's all it is, and DelDOT will accept a grass entranceway onto Round Pole Bridge for emergency purposes, I think that still satisfies the limited development area per the
commission. That's really all I'm asking for is a grass, some kind of grassy strip.
And as long as DelDOT's okay with it, I think we can accommodate that.
Okay. I thought the information from the gentleman with the aviation was very informative. You might want to consider putting the noise information, if this gets approved, into the docket. That's going to be part of your sales pitch for everybody that might be living there.
Okay.
I think that's all I had, so we'll go with staff.
Oh, none for me, thank you.
none for me either, thank you.
I did want to just provide feedback that I think I appreciate that you are taking into consideration feedback you received previously and bringing that into the design. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
We're done. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Perfect timing.
All right. Very good. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been quite patient. So we'll start by saying, is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of, what is this? Subdivision 2023-06, Twin Mass, in favor.